As you know, there are 7 days to every week, 24 hours to every day, 160 hours to every week. And sometimes we can be so busy, we just don't have enough time to get everything done. We may feel like Joshua at times in Joshua 10 verse 12, "Son, be thou still," so we would have more time to accomplish everything that needs to be done. I know that life can be very hectic with work, family, church activities. It seems like we're always on the go. And as I think about that, there seems to be a cycle. We get up, we do this, we do that, we come home. And the cycle continues on and on and on. As we stop and really think about that aspect of life, I'm reminded of what we see in Psalm 46, verse number 10, where the psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am the Lord." As you think about that particular passage, some have translated this idea to be still as to slow down. To slow down and to remember who the Lord is. As busy as life is, I think sometimes we need to remember that. We need to be still. We need to slow down and remember who the Lord is. You realize that we can get so busy in this life that we may be prone to forget. We may accidentally forget who the Lord is. Long ago in Jeremiah 2, verse number 32, God said this about His people, "My people have forgotten me days without number." In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, another example, the story of Mary and Martha. We can be so busy, we can get so caught up in the moment, we can forget what is most important. And remember, Jesus told Martha that her sister Mary had chosen that good part. She sat down to listen to Jesus. But remember, Martha was cumbered about, busy with much serving. There's a lot that we can learn from those two sisters. There are some things more important than others. And as you stop and think about what Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse number 33, we need to learn to prioritize as we go through this life. Life can be so busy. Some of the best advice that Jesus gives is found in Matthew 6, verse number 33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." And that's what we're doing this morning. We're here to seek God first in our lives. And we should remind ourselves how important it is to be here this morning, to worship God in spirit and truth, to yoke ourselves with the teaching of Jesus Christ. Sometimes being busy means being under Satan's yoke. And we don't want to get so busy in this life that we are under Satan's yoke. We want to yoke ourselves with Jesus Christ. And we want to seek the spiritual. And we want to be the spiritual people that God wants us to be. Again, that's why being here this morning is so important. We're here this morning to worship our God. To make obeisance to God. To show Him adoration. You see, when we come to worship God, when we come to make obeisance to God, we need to remember who God is. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we need to remember that God is our Creator. He is the one that has created all things. When we come to make obeisance to God, we need to remember His omnipotence. As Jeremiah would say in Jeremiah 2, verse number 17, "Lord, there is absolutely nothing too hard for You." When we come to worship God, we need to remember His omniscience. That is, we need to remember that God is all-knowing. The psalmist would say in Psalm 139, verse number 2, Lord, You know when I'm sitting down. Lord, You know when I'm getting up. Lord, You know my very thoughts afar off. Isn't that interesting? God knows what's in our mind before it even comes out, before we can even express it, because He is all-knowing. That psalm would continue to speak about God's omnipresence. He is everywhere. The psalmist would say, when I go to heaven, You are there. It doesn't matter where I go. You are everywhere. Things that we need to remember about our God when we come to worship Him. We need to remember that He is gracious, that He is patient, that He is abundant in mercy, in goodness, in truth. Psalm 34, verse number 6. We need to remember 1 Peter 1, verse number 15, that God is holy. God is holy. Remember that when we worship God. When you look at 1 Peter 1, verse number 15, a great passage that you may want to write down by 1 Peter 1, verse 15 is Psalm 96, verse number 9. Because in Psalm 96, verse number 9, God invites us to worship Him. And listen to what the psalmist says. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I want to emphasize that point. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Dear friends, worshiping God is a holy, holy thing. And as we approach God in worship, we're reminded of what Jesus says in John 4, verse 23 and 24, that we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. Have you ever thought about why that is so important to approach God with the right attitude and to worship God according to truth, according to what He has prescribed in the New Testament? The reason why John 4, verse 23 and 24 is so important, that passage or those two passages keep us from having an emotional encounter with oneself. Now stop and think about that. When we don't worship God with the right attitude and according to truth, it's not worship. What is it? It's an emotional encounter with oneself. One is simply doing whatever is right in their own eyes. And you know as well as I do, there are a lot of people in the religious world that are doing just that this morning. They're not worshiping God. They're having an emotional encounter with oneself. We don't want to do that. We want to worship God in spirit and in truth. And so this morning as we think about our lesson, our lesson centers around what we're doing this morning, worshiping God. But I want to keep it practical. I want to mention three things that may help us approach a holy and majestic God. I believe the things that we will mention are things that you know, but things that we need to be reminded of as we approach our holy God. Remember what we said. Worshiping God is a holy thing. And so I want to think about how I approach my holy God when I worship Him. Number one, we need to approach God with thanksgiving. With a thankful heart. Turn over, if you would, to Psalm 100. There are a few passages that I would like for us to read together as we talk about our approach to God. And here in Psalm 100, we are encouraged to approach God with a thankful heart. Now, you'll notice that Psalm 100 isn't a very long psalm. It would be a good one to memorize, to write down, carry these five verses with you. Really commit it to memory, because I promise you, it will change how you approach God. It will change your thinking in how you approach God. Listen to this beautiful song. Verse number 4 is really the verse that we want to highlight. But since this isn't a very long song, let's just read it together. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pastures. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations. Do you see how what is recorded here can change the way you think about God? How this can change your approach to God as you approach God in worship? Again, verse number 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. As we approach God, we should do so with grateful hearts for all that God has done. Again, when we go back to Genesis chapter 1 or even Acts 17 verse number 28, as Paul preaches on Mars Hill to the Epicureans and Stoics, he makes this point, for in Him we live and move and have our being. We exist because of our great God. We should thank Him. We should appreciate Him when we worship Him because He has created us. As you stop and as you look outside, as you see the sun shining upon the grass. By the way, we need to ask the Lord for some rain, don't we? We're about due for another good rain. But again, when we look outside, we see the beauty of God's creation. And we ought to be thankful for every day. Listen to Psalm 118, verse number 24. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Sometimes we may wake up and we begin the day by complaining and murmuring about how bad life is, when we should wake up and thank God that He's given us another day. And we can thank Him for that when we worship Him. We should thank Him because He provides for us. He provides for us spiritually speaking. He provides for us physically speaking. He provides our necessities. David said in Psalm 37 verse 25, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. God indeed has blessed us physically. He provides for the necessities of this life. But He also blesses us spiritually speaking. You and I have the ability to be saved from our sins because of God's great gift in sending His Son. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, this is exactly the way Paul was thinking when he says, thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What was Paul thanking God for? The salvation that God provides through His Son. And we're here to exalt our God. We're here this morning to thank Him for the beautiful salvation that God has provided through His Son. Listen to Psalm 18, verse number 46. The Lord liveth. Blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I hope this morning that we are approaching God with a thankful heart. You think about the avenues of worship that we've participated in this morning. We have spent time in prayer. We have spent some time singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. In just a few minutes, we're going to take time to give of our means. And as you think about those acts or those avenues of worship, we need to approach each avenue with a thankful heart. Again, think about the avenue of prayer. In Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, here it is, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And you think about Brother Holton's prayer this morning and how he was thanking God for all that He has done for us. Think about the songs that Brother Tom has led us in. Oh, how important it is that when we sing these songs, when we lift our voices, that we do so with thankful hearts. Hebrews 13 verse 15 says, "Let us therefore approach Him," that is to approach God in song, "with the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." With the fruit of our lips, expressing gratitude, expressing thanksgiving. And then we mentioned the contribution, the giving of our means. We learn in 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 7, that God loves a cheerful heart. What is your attitude toward giving? Are you giving God the leftovers? Malachi 3, verse 8, "Can a man rob God?" We can rob God in a lot of different ways. We don't want to rob God. We want to sacrificially give of our means. The idea of sacrificially giving something that we feel like we might need. I hope that really describes our giving. But when we sacrificially give, we need to do so with thankful hearts. Remember, worshiping God is a holy thing, and how we approach God really matters. As we approach God, we want to do so with an attitude of thanksgiving. I'm also reminded of the story in Luke chapter 17 about the 10 lepers. You remember Jesus cleansed 10 lepers? And it says in Luke 17, verse number 17, only one came back to express his gratitude. I hope we're like that one. I hope we're not like the 9 where we find ourselves making excuses for why we can't worship God. Friends, worshiping God should be the highlight of our week. Worshiping God is the greatest privilege that God has given to mankind, and we want to approach God in worship with thankful hearts. Notice point number 2. As we think about approaching God, number 2, we want to approach God with eagerness. I like that idea with eagerness. With some excitement. With some enthusiasm. Being able to come as God's people. To come before His throne and to worship the great I Am. To worship the One who knows all things. The One who has all power. The One who loved us and sent His Son to die for us. Oh, in Revelation 4, Revelation 5, we learn that our Father is worthy of our praise. Revelation 4, verse 5. But in Revelation 5, we learn that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is also worthy of our adoration, of our praise. And when we worship God, we need to do so with eagerness. Remember the question, does it matter how we approach God? That's what we're emphasizing, how we approach God. We want to approach Him with an attitude of thanksgiving, with an attitude of eagerness. But in Malachi 1, verse 13, this was the people's attitude. What weariness it is to serve the Lord. What weariness it is to be here this morning. By the way, this is the opposite of what we see in Psalm 122, verse number 1. I was glad when they said, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Here's a passage that I would like for us to read together. I'm trying to keep it close. Look at Psalm 84. We were in Psalm 100, but look at Psalm 84. Listen to what the psalmist declares in Psalm 84. And again, when you think about what we see in the book of Psalms really focuses on our approach to God. And listen to the psalm's eagerness here in Psalm 84, beginning at verse number 10. I love it. "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walketh uprightly. If that doesn't change your heart, I don't know what will. But when you stop and examine yourself, as I examine myself this morning, what were we thinking when God allowed us to live another day? What was on our mind? Were we like the psalmist? I was so thankful that we have this first day of the week to be able to come and worship God. Or were we thinking, you know what? I've just got so much to do. I've got so many things to accomplish, but I know I have to go to worship. I know the brethren may call me. Again, our attitude toward worship really matters. You think about what Jesus said about the Pharisees. In Matthew chapter 15, He says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." You know what's kind of scary in my mind? We can do just that this morning. Because we were all moving our lips. We were all singing the songs. It is easy to approach God with the mouth, the idea to go through the motions, but be so disconnected from God. Jesus said, "Their heart is far from me." I hope Jesus doesn't say that about me. I hope He doesn't say that about you this morning as we're here to worship God. Remember Jeremiah 17 verse 10. The Lord says, "I search the heart." God is searching our heart this morning. Listen to Psalm 86 verse 12. "I will praise Thee with the whole heart." Are you praising God with your whole heart this morning? Do you really want to be here? Do you leave here uplifted, knowing that you had this great privilege of being able to approach God, being able to literally kiss toward Him? By the way, the word worship in the original language, the Greek word proskuneo, it literally means to kiss toward. And that's what we're doing when we're worshiping God. Through those avenues or those acts of worship, we are kissing toward God. We're drawing near to God. And it's such a wonderful thing to be able to do. And when I'm kissing toward God, when I'm approaching God, I need to approach Him with a thankful heart. I need to approach Him with eagerness. And then number three, I need to approach God with reverence. Remember, I'm keeping it simple. Watch this. Turn over to Psalm 89. Psalm 89, right there in the text. Psalm 89. In Psalm 89, listen to me, verse number 7. Listen to what the Bible has to say. God is greatly to be feared, and to be had in reverence of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. Again, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence. God is a holy God, and worshiping God is a holy thing, and we need to do so with the utmost respect. Turn back, if you would, to the book of Exodus. When I think about this point right here, about approaching God with respect, with reverence, my mind always goes back to Exodus chapter 34. Remember, this is the second time that Moses is going to go upon Mount Sinai. The first time Moses was up there, he heard a strange noise in the camp. And remember, the people of God were up to no good. Moses breaks the stone. He comes down. Well, as you're looking at Exodus 34, this is the second time that Moses makes his way to Mount Sinai. And God tells Moses in verse number 2, "Moses, I want you to be ready in the morning. That's just good advice, isn't it, when it comes to worshiping God. If you want to show God that reverence that we're talking about, we need to be prepared. We need to wake up, right? We need to get out of bed. We need to get ourselves ready. We need to come with enthusiasm to worship our God, to give Him praise, to give Him adoration, to seek Him first in our lives. Moses, I want you to be ready in the morning. And look at verse number 4. I want you to bring something, Moses. I want you to bring two tables of stone. There are some principles there. We need to come ready with our Bibles open, searching the Scriptures. Acts 17, verse number 11. Listen, one of the things that I love to do is to go fishing. But you know what? You can't go fishing, Brother Holton, without a fishing pole, right? And listen, when it comes to worshiping God, we should come prepared like Moses. Oh, we have our devices, we have our Bibles, but we should be prepared to really soak this in, to write down what we're seeing here, to search it, to study it, to follow along, to pay close attention to what we find in God's holy word. Listen, when we do that, we're showing reverence to our God. In Isaiah 66, verse 2, this is what God is saying. God still looks upon those who tremble at His word. What is the prophet Isaiah talking about? He's talking about those who have this attitude that we're talking about. An attitude that is excited to look into the Word of God, to approach God. The attitude that really reveres the Word of God. We should have the utmost respect for God's Word. Approach God with reverence. And so when you go back to verse number 2, Moses, I want you to get up in the morning, and I want you to come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and listen to it. I want you to present thyself. In the Hebrew, it literally means, Moses, I want you to stand perpendicular, just like a soldier would before his officer. I want you to present yourself before me, Moses. I want you to get up in the morning. I want you to be prepared. And so Moses does that. And he goes to Mount Sinai. In verse number 5, we see that the Lord presents Himself to Moses. And the Lord proclaimed His name. And He proclaimed His mercy and His graciousness and His long-suffering and His abundant mercy. And we see in verse number 8 how Moses responds. And to me, verse number 8 really highlights the point that we're making this morning. It really shows the respect, the reverence that Moses had for God. And we see that in verse number 8. And Moses made haste and bowed his head. Now remember earlier in verse number 2, Moses, I want you to present yourself before me. I want you to stand perpendicular. And as the Lord presents Himself before Moses, Moses, who is now standing perpendicular, verse number 8, is now bowing down. A word picture of reverence. We need to do so with our hearts, with respect, with reverence to who God is. How we approach God really matters. The greatest privilege that we have this week is to be here this morning, to be able to worship God. And as we worship God, I hope the things that we've mentioned this morning will really cause us to focus on our approach. Let's approach God with a thankful heart. We have so many things to be thankful for. Let's approach Him with eagerness. Let's be excited about who we are. Let's worship God with our heart. And let's approach God with the utmost respect, with the utmost reverence for how God wants to be worshipped. We mentioned John 4, verse 23 and 24. What you will also see in John 4, verse 23 and 24, is that God is seeking true worship. Let's give God what He is seeking. I hope again this lesson this morning has been an encouragement to you as we think about our approach to God. Through Jesus Christ, God has given us this great privilege of being able to kiss toward Him. It might be that you're not a Christian. As we mentioned earlier, what God wants more than anything is for you to become one of His children, to become a Christian. And you can become a Christian this morning by obeying the Christ, by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, and being baptized for the remission of your sins, being added to the church, the body of Jesus Christ. It might be that you've already done that. It may be that this morning you sit here as a Christian listening to the Word of God, realizing maybe I need to make some changes. You need to make those changes. Let's make those changes this morning. Let's not put off spiritual matters. Let's be sure that we are right with God this morning. Remember, God is searching the heart. God knows us. He knows us collectively as the Lake Country congregation. He knows us individually as New Testament Christians. Let's be sure that we are serving Him with the whole heart. If we need to repent of sin, let's do that this morning. Whatever it may be, let's be sure that we take care of spiritual matters, putting a priority on the kingdom. If you need to respond, won't you do so this morning?